Welcome to the latest edition of the Original 11, the official podcast of Princeton football. My name is Craig Saxon, and on today's show, we will have CJ Wall, the freshman starting cornerback for the Princeton Tigers. He's started every game this season, and this weekend, he'll find himself locked up at least several times with the two-time Ivy League Offensive Player of the Year finalist, Justin Watson. Plenty of good experiences and opportunities that he'll face this weekend as he continues his growth. We'll have offensive coordinator Sean Gleason to go over the incredible season so far of Chad Kanoff, and then to look ahead a little bit at a tough, stingy Penn defense. And of course, we'll have Cody Crucial on to look back at last Saturday's disappointing 29-28 loss to Cornell, and then look ahead to the homecoming game for Penn at Franklin Field this Saturday at 1 o'clock. A reminder, you can subscribe to the Princeton Podcast Network by searching Princeton Tigers on your favorite podcast app. You'll get the Original 11 each week, as well as Laxcast, TigerCast, and any other podcasts that are uploaded to the Princeton Network. Okay, let's get to our guests. We'll start with the starting cornerback for the Princeton Tigers. And it's a class, and we touch on this. You know, Princeton knew that it had graduated, obviously, some really high-level cornerbacks over the last two seasons with Anthony Gaffney and John Hill and James Gales and Marcus Fox. And so, you know, they really went at that position hard and brought in a number of talented players, including some you really haven't even seen much so far this year. But the one that's gotten the most time on the field starting from day one and two-time Ivy League Rookie of the Week, this is in C.J. Wall. Let's hear from him right now. C.J., let's just kind of look at this whole season. For you, everybody comes in and wants to play as soon as they can, but for you to get that start, your first game, kind of do you remember your emotions before that game, and how fast did it all go that first day?
That first game, it was my emotions. I was pretty nervous. I mean, first big college game on a Saturday morning. I was feeling a little nervous. I was really excited. I just wanted to get out there and make plays.
With the way that game went and ended up getting Ivy Rookie of the Week, and how much confidence do you take out of just one game, out of seeing, okay, you know, there's a lot to grow from and a lot to improve on, but I can do this.
Yeah, it definitely gave me a lot of confidence going into the next week and going into the rest of the games this season. I think starting off with that game, it was very good building block for me.
Princeton obviously has graduated a number of defensive backs over the last 2 years, and so you kind of came in with this class of really highly touted and in some ways a lot expected on, you know, you, DeLon, Trevor, you know, Matt Winston, who I know was injured in the preseason, but somebody that I know that the coaches believe in. How close has your group become, knowing that, you know, it's not only are you working together a lot, but you're a group that you know, has gotten a lot of time already.
Yeah, I think it definitely brings us together. I mean, we have so many meetings that we're spending so much time together. We go over plays together. I mean, we're just a really close group.
How much has the game slowed down for you over the last few weeks? And can you feel yourself maybe either getting into a better rhythm or what are you seeing that's allowing? Because it looks like you're more comfortable on the field right now.
Yeah, I think I definitely am more comfortable on the field. I think just going through these games, my coaches having all the confidence in me and my teammates having all the confidence in me gives me a bunch of confidence, and I'm just able to go out there and play.
What's the biggest difference for you from high school to college? I mean, in some ways, you know, when you line up against somebody and it's one-on-one, you know, you do that in the backyard, you do that everywhere. But what has been the biggest transitions for you?
I'd say probably the speed of the game. It goes a little bit quicker in college. I mean, down in Texas, we do have some pretty good football, but definitely college football goes a little bit quicker.
How has it been? You know, obviously Saturday was a tough defeat, but this team has, over the last couple of years, you know, and we saw it a few weeks ago after the Columbia game, really bounced back well. What are you seeing kind of in the resilience of the group this week?
I'm just seeing guys, they want to get better. Every week we want to get better, whether it's a win or a loss. I mean, people, after a loss, they take it seriously and know we have to get back. They forget about the loss completely, get back on track, and start getting ready for next week.
Is there an upperclassman that kind of is really either taking you under his wing or is at least kind of giving you some advice to help you get through? Because for you, not only are you starting, but you're a freshman in a whole new area and everything. Who's taking you under the wing and really kind of helped you along?
Definitely Chance Melanson. He's definitely been my mentor on the team so far this year. He's helped me with class, with football things, everything. He's just been a really great mentor for me.
Do you feel like kind of the whole transition? I mean, do you feel like, okay, like I'm figuring this all out. I know you had midterms last week, your first time with those as a college student, but are you feeling like, all right, I'm a little bit more of just a regular college student as opposed to kind of swimming in all directions?
Yeah, I definitely am starting to settle into things, starting to get into the rhythm, know where I have to be at and all that kind of stuff.
This Saturday you get Penn and really one of the league's top receivers over the last few years in Justin Watson. In some ways, I think it has to have helped that you go against Jesper Horsted and Steve Carlson every day in practice. So let's start there. I mean, how much has it helped you having those guys against you day after day?
Oh, man, it's helped me. It's been an amazing help. I mean, those two guys, I think they're one of the best guys in the Ivy League, two of the best receivers we have in the Ivy League. So going against them every day, they just push me to be better, and I push them to be better, and it's great.
How much do you look forward to a challenge like, you know, going against Justin Watson? I know it's one of those things where depending on where they line him up, and they'll line him up anywhere, but you know sometimes you're going to kind of go head-to-head with them. How much do you look forward to the challenge like that against somebody that has gotten as much attention as and deservedly so as he has?
Oh, I'm very excited for the opportunity. I'm ready to go out there, ready to make plays. It's just, I'm really excited, really excited.
We're back with Cody Crucial to look back at Saturday's disappointing 1-point loss to Cornell and then look ahead to homecoming at Franklin Field Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock start, Princeton and Penn. Obviously, you go back and you know, what happened Saturday night, probably there's a lot that you can factor into it. I don't think you can discount what happened on the defensive line. Again, 3 straight weeks now, starters have gone down. But certainly you have to give credit to Cornell because defensively they held up in the fourth quarter when they needed to, and they got what other teams haven't gotten, which is third down stops. And when their offense started to get a little momentum, it was their defense that got them the ball back.
Yeah, I mean, a very uncharacteristic game for the Tigers, and it started with a lot of those penalties early on for a team that coming in was the least penalized team in the Ivy League, one of the least penalized teams in the entire FCS. And, you know, you do have to give them credit defensively, and we knew they had a lot of talent and a lot of experience in the secondary, and we saw that with Jeswaldy and then Woolard on the outside. They had the 2 interceptions, and that Jeswaldy pick set them up for their shortest touchdown drive of the season. One play, 12 yards, and that kind of turned momentum and kept them in the game in the first half. And then you look at the other side of the football, the 2 wins for Cornell coming in, they had held the ball 37 and 40 minutes and were able to take advantage of the weakness for the Tigers, which was all the injuries on defense. They finished that game without 6 starters from opening day plus Joe Percival. And that's one area where Cornell can do some things. They rotated 2 quarterbacks. They rotated 3 running backs. And they were able to get some fresh bodies on the field and rotate them and kind of take a page out of Princeton's playbook and just play that fast-paced, you know, rotate a lot of personnel in and out. And you know, you wondered when it would catch up with the Tigers, all the injuries on defense, and it did on Saturday.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter especially, they really did kind of wear Princeton down, and at the point where they needed either one stop or one extended drive, and they weren't able to do it. And it's too bad because they played fairly well, I thought. You know, we've seen what Princeton did at Harvard, you know, at Brown, when they were really good offensively. They had moments. You know, I thought the Knopf connections with Carlson, I thought
we are seeing a little bit more. They're bringing Tiger Besh a little bit more into the offense. That catch he made, which was a great throw, was down on the field at the time. On that last drive to Besh, it was a high-level play. But again, nothing could get sustained. They couldn't sustain offensively. They couldn't sustain defensively. And Cornell was able to take advantage. And now this jumbled Ivy League that we've talked about for three straight weeks is crazy. And we are literally looking at very plausible scenarios where six teams enter next week with at least a shot at a share of the Ivy League crown.
I mean, it's crazy. So the two co-champions from last year, Princeton and Penn, really playing for their Ivy League seasons this Saturday. Harvard picked as a co-champion, given up for dead after Princeton went up to Cambridge and beat them 2 weeks ago, and now they're back in the playoff picture. And then two of those teams at the top of the league, Columbia hasn't been in this spot in over 20 years, and Cornell, less than a month ago, we were talking about them having lost 10 of their last 11 and what kind of changes might be made there over the offseason. And now they control their own destiny for the Ivy League crown. It's really tough to handicap the league this year.
Yeah, you look at this week. I mean, Cornell is at Dartmouth. Dartmouth has two losses. They're in the mix. Harvard is at Columbia. That's a series that Harvard obviously has owned. These are very different teams this year. But still, Harvard is right in the mix. Yale takes on Brown. You would have to think that Yale is a strong favorite in that one. But Princeton plays Yale the following week. So a lot of scenarios are up for grabs. Regardless, it doesn't mean a thing if Princeton can't run the table in November. And they have to figure out a way to run the table with the injuries that impacted them so severely last weekend against Cornell. Now, we don't know kind of who may be in, who may be out. But somehow they're going to have to figure out a way to stop Penn. And everyone's talking about Justin Watson. And look, he's a terrific player. We've seen him over the years. But Penn's a team that I think is going to try to run the ball the way other teams have. Keep their offense on the field. Keep Chad Kanoff and this offense off the field. And can they stop Carrick and Brooks?
And Penn's interesting because they have talent. They have the ability to do to teams what Cornell did to Princeton last week because of the depth in the backfield, but they haven't had a consistent quarterback, and they haven't had their running backs healthy. Trey Solomon, who was first-team All-Ivy League last year, rushed for over 900 yards. He suffered an ankle injury. He's only played four games. He still doesn't. I don't think he has a 60-yard rushing game this year, and he was the best running back in the Ivy League a year ago, and Carrick and Brooks has been banged up. He's carried the ball three times over the last 2 weeks. So they have depth. They have another sophomore, Abe Willows, behind those two guys. But they haven't had all the depth healthy at the same time. And, you know, they went Will Fisher Colbury, who was the senior transfer quarterback, gave him the reins of the offense, had plenty of opportunities. And then this past week, they went to the sophomore transfer, a guy, Nick Robinson, who started his career at the University of Georgia, so a highly recruited Power 5 conference quarterback, and he's looked pretty good. His first career start was last week, but even coming off the bench the past few weeks, he's been pretty good, 65%, six touchdowns, only one interception. If you get that kind of quarterback play and you have some healthy running backs that can move the football, you know, you're hoping, for Princeton's sake, this isn't the week that it all comes together for Penn.
Right, and defensively, I think this is a pretty good Penn team. You know, you get past that week, those first 2 weeks, especially that Lehigh game where everyone scored every time they touched the ball. But 16 points against Dartmouth, 24 points against Yale, you know, obviously 7 against Brown. Columbia got to 34, but that's an overtime game. They score the touchdown on the final play, so that probably is more of a 27-point. Defensively, they've held up. They're playing homecoming game, Franklin Field. You know, even last year, when you think about that game, Princeton scores 28, had the punt block for a touchdown, got the turnover. You know, it's a defense that I think historically has been really tough to drive the ball on over an extended period of time. And I think in this case, you know, you don't look at Princeton as a ball control offense, but in some ways, they're going to need to hold the ball enough so that this defense is not playing 80 snaps. You can win with this defense playing 60, 65 snaps. I don't think you want them playing 85 to 90. So the offense has to be efficient. They have to convert on third downs against a team that's been pretty good.
You know, I know coming into the season, the coaching staff was talking, okay, what's the next step for Chad Kanoff? And that's turn into that vocal leader. You know, he's always been a guy that leads by example, but maybe not the most vocal leader, and they wanted him to turn into that. And, you know, now you're going to ask him in this offense to kind of go away from what got him to this point, which is running 75, 80, 85 plays a game. And with the state of this defense, you just can't do that. So it'll be interesting to see how they're able to adjust.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going that far away in terms of running 80, 85 plays, because when they converted on third downs, they've actually done fairly well at that. It's just, I think there's more of a need to it this time, whereas in the past, look, if you just punt, give it to your defense, you trust your defense. And look, there's still some good players, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how, you know, my last guest, C.J. Wall, how some of these younger guys will match up against the Justin Watson and what Penn can do. But you just need a far more efficient offensive performance than you got last week. And nobody's asking them to huddle and you know, run off guard first, second, and third down. But third downs have to – you have to be efficient there.
And last week was the first time where the Tigers weren't. They were 6 of 15, and you figure if they play at their season average on third down, Cornell may not get that last possession, and they may run out of time, and then we're talking about a Princeton team that's tied for first place. So, you know, it comes down to a couple of plays. It's kind of cliche, but expect that again this weekend.
And Sean Gleason will be well aware of that. He is the first-year offensive coordinator, long time on the staff, but first year calling plays after James Perry took the head coaching job at Brown. He's in charge of getting this offense back on track this weekend for the homecoming game at Penn. And let's hear from Sean Gleason right now.
Sean, before we look at this weekend, the season that Chad's having, I mean, you've, you know, worked with him on the offense, but this is your first year specifically with him as quarterback and then coordinating plays. What has surprised you about him that maybe you didn't even realize over the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's done a really nice job. This hasn't been a prototypical year in that things are kind of just traveling along perfectly at every stretch of the road. He's done a really nice job in the face of some adversity at times, you know, through a couple of interceptions early on in the year and a loss to Columbia. But at every opportunity, he has really dug in for this team and this offense in particular to make sure that he's operating the offense well and executing himself at the quarterback position to the best of his ability. So I would say that I knew he was always going to be he's a tremendous gifted quarterback. He throws the ball unbelievably well, but he's really when maybe faced with some adversity, responded extremely well, which has been great for us.
He's had plenty of good games throughout his career, but the game he played at Harvard that Friday night, is that as close to perfection as you've seen?
Yeah. I mean, he was dialed in for sure. I knew, you know, we had some extra time at the hotel playing Friday night. You know, we waited around a little bit, and I knew he was in a good place. He had watched some extra film on these guys sitting in his room for a few hours there before we headed over to the stadium, and I knew that he was locked in. All the questions I had talked to him about, some of the plays in our first drive that we were planning on calling, and there wasn't like an additional question, or he wasn't confused about what to expect. I just felt like he had a really good handle on those guys as well as the rest of the offense, and it was just a matter of going out and executing that at the point, and he did it.
You know, this offense has excelled a lot with short passing and running over the last few years. And I don't know if it's just what Jesper and Steve bring or kind of accentuating Chad's strengths, especially with the arm, or just maybe a slightly different philosophy from you. But it seems that downfield passing has been a little bit more a part of the offense this year. Can you point to, is there one specific reason or maybe one reason more than the others that you know, you've really opened it up a little bit more?
Yeah, I think college football, in essence, is, you know, many of these people in our world now are very daring. So whether it's man coverage or zone coverage that is kind of disguised and has a lot of man technique to it, that on various occasions puts your outside receivers in some one-on-one matchups. And fortunate for us, we have two huge guys. who go up and are very athletic in the air, can change when the ball is thrown behind them. It doesn't always have to be in the perfect spot, and we have a quarterback who actually can put it in the perfect spot. So I think that combined with the guys, just continually kind of wanting to learn and get better and strive, it's a good combination for completing the ball downfield, which we've been good at.
You look at this Penn team on Saturday. Defensively, Columbia needed overtime to get to 30. Nobody else in the league has gotten to 30. Dartmouth won at 17. Brown had 7 last week. What have they done? And they've been doing it for years, but what are they doing this year that is really kind of keeping teams out of the red zone and certainly out of the end zone?
Yeah, they are unique. Like, they've always had at Penn a philosophy that they were going to hit you in the mouth and be in your face and pursuit of the ball and all those great things that we know about the Penn defenses historically. Coach Priori does a tremendous job in that regard and their coordinator for the last few years. But they really do a nice job of varying their fronts, their pressures, and their coverages. So I think the different things that you see from snap 1 to snap 85, whatever, you don't really get settled into a rhythm. The second you think you haven't figured out on this down and distance, they're going to bring a coverage in another game that just kind of blows up what you might expect from them. So, I mean, technically they have a couple different tendencies here and there, but I would say their variation, keeping you on your toes at all times, is one of their best qualities.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. Reminder, Saturday's game is on the NBC Sports Philadelphia channel as well as NBC Sports Chicago. It's also on the Ivy League Network. It's a 1 p.m. start at Franklin Field. Princeton at Penn. Homecoming game at Penn, which is always an exciting one to be part of. We'll see you next week for the Original 11.